I want to take you to find out about the hidden history of what's been described as Australia's Bletchley Park. And it's right here in Brisbane. Now, you know Bletchley Park is the famous house of the codebreakers during World War II in the UK. Nyambla House in Ascot apparently was the Central Intelligence Bureau headquarters for the Pacific Theatre during World War II. It was where Australian and American codebreakers intercepted and decrypted Japanese messages during the war. And the Grand House, which is not on the Queensland Heritage Register, is up for sale. The author David Dufty spent years researching and writing a book about the house's story. David, I'm ignorant of Nyambla House. Tell me the story in Ascot.
Too many people are. Nyambla. It was the headquarters of Central Bureau, a code-breaking organisation in the Second World War. They did amazing things. They basically were the most important code-breaking operation in the Pacific part of the Second World War. And really, Nyambla in Ascot is probably, in terms of wartime historical sites, is probably second only in Brisbane to the AMP building in its importance. And it's absolutely a travesty that it's not on the heritage list. And this looks, you know, it's a really important building.
It's a big call to call it our version of Bletchley Park. Is it a fair comparison?
Yeah, totally. Well, you know, Bletchley Park is famous for their role in the Second World War and Alan Turing and breaking the Enigma and stuff. But
yep.
Central Bureau did, and they were in communication with Bletchley Park. They did a lot of really important stuff, working on the Japanese codes and advising the Allies on the Japanese and giving them important information, and played a critical role. And General MacArthur and other generals during the war said Central Bureau played a really important role.
David Dufty is my guest. David's an author. He's written the book, The Secret Codebreakers of Central Bureau. This is ABC Radio Brisbane. Describe the house to me. I'm now going to try and take a drive-by and have a look at it sometime on the weekend, but describe it to me. What does it look like?
It's a huge old... It's a big square building. It's actually a beautiful building. I had the privilege of going there once when they were organising... Because when I was writing my book, I was talking to all the living codebreakers that I could find around Australia that had worked there, and they really felt like they had been under-recognised by the Australian government and by the public after the war. So, but there was an event there where they were invited, and they asked me along as well. It's a lovely building. We had an event on the grass and out the front. Big old double brick building, two stories. And it was huge. It was a huge rambling house where they had lots of different rooms and lots of different code-breaking activities and people coming in back and forth and communicating with the headquarters in the city.
Okay, so
what was going on.
In the work of the Central Intelligence Bureau, how pivotal were they in the outcome of the Pacific Theatre's battles and the like?
Well, quite pivotal in several battles, but more importantly than the outcome of the battles, they were able to reduce casualties. Because they were able to tell the Australian commanders and the American commanders where the Japanese troops weren't. For instance, they were going to do a big invasion of a set of Indonesian islands in now Indonesia, and the Central Bureau said, "Don't do that. There's half a million troops there. Pick this island instead." And the island was Moratai, and so they went in and took Moratai instead. And the same thing with when the Allies invaded Hollandia, they only went to Hollandia because of Central Bureau's advice. They landed on, you know, the Americans landed on Guadalcanal without any Japanese opposition because of Central Bureau. So they really were there behind the scenes. They were breaking the codes, breaking the Japanese codes, and playing a key role in the military strategy.
It's 9 to 6, news at 6. I'm speaking with author David Dufty. David's book is called The Secret Codebreakers of Central Bureau. And they really were secret. Is it true that they weren't allowed to talk about what they did during the war at all?
Yeah, totally. I've met, and they didn't. And I actually have met one woman who, there were a lot of women involved actually, at Central Bureau and other code breaking operations. I met one woman who'd been in code breaking during the war, and she got married after the war, never told her husband. Like, they had kids, retired, He eventually went to his grave thinking she'd been, I think, a cleaner or a secretary during the war. She never actually told him that she admitted to me. She said, I never told him. So
that's remarkable. As a journalist, I can tell you, it is extraordinarily difficult for people to hold secrets for a long time. That's remarkable.
And eventually the veil of secrecy was lifted, and some of them still didn't talk. They said, well, you didn't tell me it was going to be, you know, there was going to be a time limit. I was told never to speak again, and I'm not going to. So some of them never did.
So basically, we don't really realise that these women were the chief codebreakers of this facility here in Brisbane, of the Central Intelligence Bureau.
Yeah, totally. And it was all happening in Brisbane. It was women and men, and a lot of really super talented people did amazing things, and everywhere that as the war moved north, they went north as well. They went so they could be on the spot and giving up to date advice. They went to the New Guinea, then they went to the Philippines, so they could be breaking the codes there. A guy from Central Bureau, actually, because he knew so much about the Japanese radio network, his name was Stan Clark, an Australian. He was the first guy to make contact with the Japanese mainland to start peace negotiations. So it's a little known facet of history that an Australian played a really important role in.
We're talking about Nyambla House in Ascot. The headquarters for the Central Intelligence Bureau for the Pacific during World War II. It's a grand house. It's up for sale, but my guest author David Dufty is concerned that it is not on the Queensland Heritage Register, and he thinks it should be registered.
You know what, though? Actually, I would love to see the government buy it and turn it into a code-breaking museum. Britain has one. They've got Bletchley Park is now a fantastic place, and the tourists come, and it's this great experience. You can learn about the war and code-breaking and Alan Turing. We could do this. This is actually a one-time opportunity for the government to do the exact same thing here.
What's it on the market? What's the house on the market for?
I have no idea.
Right. Yeah. Okay. We'll see if we can find it. I'll go for a drive next week and make him an offer. Listen, it's Friday. Looking for a good story. There's a love story between two people who were stationed at Nyambla House at Ascot. Tell me the story of Carol and Sandy.
Coral and Sandy.
Coral.
They were both working in Central Bureau in this code-breaking organisation. As I said, some of them got deployed to the Philippines so they could advise the advance, troops there. Sandy went to the Philippines, and the code-breaking centres communicated with this top-secret machine called a Typex machine that encrypted everything. And so Coral and Sandy were sending each other love letters, encrypted love letters, back and forth from the Philippines to Brisbane on a Typex machine. The commanders had told them, look, you have to put in blank space in case anybody intercepts them. They don't want to even see how long the messages are, because that could be interesting. So they had to leave all this blank space, and Coral and Sandy were writing love letters to each other in the blank space before the message. They'd snip it off and then give the message to the generals or whoever it had to be. So, and then he came back from the Philippines, and they got married and basically lived happily ever after.
Isn't that great? There's a movie we should make. That's a movie we should make.
Yeah, absolutely.
With a particular funny element where MacArthur all of a sudden gets a mysteriously decoded love note.
It could have happened too, but luckily it didn't.
Okay, I'm surprised that this house is not on the Queensland Heritage Register. I mean, that's a real surprise, given the history, the size, the sort of the nature of the house. That's surprising it sort of slipped through.
It's historically very important, and it's a really amazing, beautiful house. I mean, I shouldn't be trying to steal it. I don't want somebody to come and buy it.
Yes.
I actually would like to see the government step in and buy it and turn it into something that's a public asset. So I don't want to talk it up too much. No, it's a terrible place.
It'll be a burden. It's tumbling down, yes. So does the name Nyambla, Nyrambla, does that have a meaning? Does that name mean something?
The guy not from the war, the guy that built it originally, which was some 50 years before the war, it was some Aboriginal word that he'd heard on his travels through New South Wales, and he came back to Brisbane, and that's all it is.
Okay.
It's just what it was originally called by the guy that built it.
What happened to all the code-breaking gear? Because there's a MacArthur Museum at MacArthur Chambers, isn't there, in the heart of the city. They didn't put half the gear in there, did they?
No. Well, in fact, at this house, the Central Bureau had the first IBMs ever in Australia, the first computing machine ever in Australia. They had an enormous... It was hard to find out a lot about this organisation because they burnt all their records, not all, but a lot of most of their records at the end of the war. They went down to the race course and they built a bonfire that took 3 days to burn. They had so much stuff. So they just got... Yeah, they were obsessed with secrecy.
Right, okay.
I didn't want anybody to know what they've been doing. But we do kind of know now much of what they did, which was amazing stuff.
Listen, is there any chance that Carol and Sandy, the husband and wife, are still alive?
Yeah, she is. She's in Melbourne. I've spoken to her a few times, and I have a chapter about that in my book, actually. So she's around, but he has unfortunately long since passed away.
I know a pretty decent movie maker in this town who's been making a few films. I might flick your name and number onto her and say, all right, mate, here's a love story set in World War II, big old house in Brisbane. It's got all the elements, and the story's not been told, of secret love messages in, you know, war telegrams between Australia and the Philippines.
I think that'd be a cracker movie. Absolutely.
Absolutely. So the house is not on the Heritage Register. It's up for sale now, and your bottom line is the Queensland government should buy it.
Absolutely. It's a really important building, and I think it would be a fantastic asset. I don't think there's a downside. I think they could do something really, really special with this.
David Dufty, thanks for coming on. Thanks for giving me the education, David. It sounds like a ripping yarn either way.
Okay.
Good on you.
Cheers.
David Dufty is the author and writer of the book The Secret Code Breakers of Central Bureau, and the house he's referring to is Nyrambla House in Ascot here in Brisbane. Apparently it's on the market. It is not heritage listed, and he says absolutely it should be. I've got a statement from the Queensland Department of Environment and Science about the house. They said they don't buy properties or turn them into museums. The spokesperson said the public could make applications to have Nyrambla House listed on the Queensland Heritage Register. Any application would be considered by the Queensland Heritage Council.